104.5 The Team, your home for New York Yankees baseball. And thanks to our friends at Techies Fire and Water Restoration, your best way back to normal. Visit them online, tefirewater.com. They fix disasters. Buster, do the Yankees need to call TE Fire and Water Restoration?
I don't think you have to break the glass yet, okay? I don't think so. But it was interesting to hear Aaron Boone verbalize after their game against the Twins on Wednesday that, yeah, okay, we got guys in the room, and we got to start playing better. And let's face it, they're in a better position than a lot of teams because some point in the next 10 days, you would assume that Aaron Judge will come walking through that door and Aroldis Chapman will come walking through that door. And, you know, those are probably two of the five most important players on that roster. And just being around the Yankees the last couple of years, Aaron Judge, I think, has a real calming effect on the other players. I remember when Joe Girardi said at the end of last season that he considered Judge to be the leader on the team, and I've heard that from other folks this year. And to have him back in the lineup and producing and representing a threat, even if he's not 100% healthy with that wrist, that would be absolutely huge for them. Now, we'll see how they turn around afterward, but, you know, let's face it, at this point, they know they're not going to win the division. They know they're going to be in the wild card. And now it's just a question of playing better before they get to that game.
Buster only with us right now, 104.5 team. So, Buster, let's say the Yankees end up playing that one-game wild card in Oakland. Is that can't happen, right? That's a deal-breaker for them moving on.
Well, it absolutely could happen because Oakland's playing it. Well, sorry to disappoint you, and I don't know if you noticed, but this week Oakland was playing Gauss's Orioles. Good luck with that. And I'm sure that probably the Yankees are watching those games just, you know, saying, oh, why didn't we do that to the Orioles and just blow them out every night? You know, missed opportunity there for the Yankees. But, yeah, they could wind up playing in Oakland. That's not going to be an easy place to play. That crowd is absolutely wild. And they could also survive that and get through that. And then they would go to Boston against a team that, you know, is the first team, the quickest team to get to 100 wins since 2001. But if you remember, and I know you do, that team in 2001 to get to 100 wins the quickest was the Seattle Mariners, who lost to the Yankees in the ALCS. And it might be that the Red Sox, you know, would get into a short series, and all of a sudden the problems that they're having in the bullpen would really manifest. So I don't think we're close to saying that the Yankees are in trouble.
All right, because it's just one of those things. As I'm breaking down the remainder of the schedule, Buster, both teams, and I'm not even looking at the Red Sox, obviously, the Yankees and the A's both have 16 games left. And what scares the daylights out of me is, A, like you pointed to, the Yankees aren't beating bad teams. And on top of that, six of those 10 games are the Red Sox. Like, I do. I'm about to push the panic button. I don't know what to do.
Well, I wouldn't push it. I'd hold off on that yet. Because the one thing we've seen from Alex Cora and how he's managing the Red Sox, I don't think he's going to be going full bore to beat the Yankees in those games. His entire focus, I think, the rest of this year is preparing his team for the postseason, and that if that means resting guys, if that means pulling starting pitchers to get them ready for the postseason, he will do that. So you're not going to be seeing the juggernaut Red Sox that you might have been worried about earlier this season because of the preparation for the postseason.
The New York Mets, the other side of it, David Wright. What's your take on how the Mets have been handling David Wright?
Well, I was really worried that they were really going to botch the end of this relationship with him. You know, a guy who, if not for the injuries, he would have been a Hall of Famer. He's been such a great representative for that organization. And as he was working his way back this summer, I thought, boy, what a great story. And then in early August, they started to hear rumblings about the ownership there and whether or not they really wanted him to come back, because let's face it, once he steps on the field, it costs them a lot of money for not a lot in return. Let's face it, you know, as we look at David Wright now, he probably, you know, given the announcement that the Mets had on Thursday afternoon, he's going to come back, and he's probably not going to play that much. He's going to have his moment in the sun, and then he's, in my opinion, he's likely to move on at that point, as opposed to being someone who could contribute. So you can understand the Mets if they were like, meh, you know, it might be better if he stayed on the stable so we could save a little bit more money. But David Wright has acted with such integrity that I think that they have to honor his effort to come back. And I'm glad they're doing that, because I tell you what, a few weeks ago, I was starting to wonder if they were going to mess this up the way they have messed up other situations like this.
You said move on at the end of the season. Does that mean he's going to retire? Does that mean he might just be bought out? What does that mean?
Well, it won't be a buyout, and it won't be retirement per se. It might be that the next 2 years he'll just wind up on the disabled list, like Prince Fielder with the Texas Rangers, where at some point, you know, the Rangers and Prince Fielder realized, okay, he's just not going to play anymore, so you put him on the DL. He gets his full money and an obligation of you know, of salary that that they agreed to, and on top of that, because he's not active, the Mets get insurance money back to make up for some of that. And from what I understand, they get about 80% back, not the 75% that's been reported.
Buster, you're only with us right now. Staying with the Mets, am I taking crazy pills that I think there really is no argument better than Jacob DeGrom for the Cy Young this year?
Yeah, and it was interesting because Tony Kornheiser said on, you know, pardon the interruption, he would think it would be garbage if DeGrom were to win the Cy Young Award, and I totally and respectfully disagree with Tony on that. I think when you ask the question, who is the best pitcher in the National League, and that's how you should determine the Cy Young Award, then there's no doubt. To me, the answer is Jacob DeGrom. Last weekend, I'm not going to mention the player specifically by name, but I was having a conversation with some of the Astros and asking them, okay, if you had a vote for National League Cy Young Award, who would you pick? And to a man, they were like, oh, Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in the league this year. And, you know, regardless of how many wins he gets, I think he should be. I will tell you this, that I do think that it probably would help his cause if he reaches double digits in wins. Just knowing how writers think and maybe as they prepare to vote, I think some of them are not going to be comfortable voting for a guy who's not in double digits in wins, which I think is crazy because you've watched his season play out. The fact that he doesn't have more wins doesn't have anything to do with how he's pitching. In fact, I almost feel like you give him extra credit for competing as well as he has, despite the fact that he's essentially day in and day out is working in a lost cause.
Buster, you know, my head's been kind of in the sand just watching this whole Yankees, you know, A's thing go down, but the National League playoff race is far more exciting, dare I say.
Without a doubt. And quite frankly, I think no matter, you know, who wins the divisions and who are the wild card teams, I think that we'll go into the National League playoffs with that being completely wide open. And I think that as we sit here today, you could make a strong case the six best teams in baseball are all in the American League. I had an evaluator say to me the other day that if this season were 185 games and not 162, the Rays would actually make the playoffs. And sad to say, LeBac, he also was implying that your Yankees would not make the playoffs if the season were 185 games. So the dominance is in the American League, but the National League, because all these teams seem to be sorting through their issues and, you know, hoping to gain some traction, and they're really not doing that, I think in some respects it's going to be just as fascinating as the American League postseason.
And one of the teams that's become at least the most exciting seems to be the Colorado Rockies. They could be going for their franchise's first division championship. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. What would it mean for the Rockies to finally win that division championship, and if they now push themselves into contention to be the NL champions?
Yeah, it would be great. Let's face it, one of the recurring themes for the Rockies every year is trying to hold together their pitching staff because in Coors Field, a mile high, pitchers just get the heck beaten out of them. But I think, you know, since they put the humidor into effect, it's made it easier for them to develop and maintain pitching. And you're having guys like Kyle Freeland, who actually is a product of Denver, who's having a terrific season. How often do you see a Colorado pitcher with home road splits being better at home than on the road? You know, that's part of their story. And I also, you like the fact that they're getting this opportunity because it does feel like it's going to be a relatively short time frame for them to potentially contend with questions about whether or not Nolan Arenado is going to stay in Colorado.
Buster, only with us right now, thanks to Techies Fire and Water Restoration. Buster, when will we get the news of the Baltimore Orioles being relegated to the Arizona Fall League?
Come on, man.
No, baseball's already determined. The Orioles don't deserve the promotion to the Arizona Fall League.
Stop. I'm taking my headphones off. Goodbye, you two. See ya.
Buster, guys and myself and a bunch of listeners are busing to the Bronx. Thanks to Dunkin' Donuts. On Saturday, we're going to see the CC on the mound versus the Blue Jays. Where are you spending your weekend?
I will be in St. Louis. We have the Cardinals and the Dodgers, two of those National League teams trying to define themselves, as you described.
I love it, man. It's always good to talk to you, especially when you pick on guys more than me. I appreciate it.
Man, it's easy. It's an easy pickings these days when the Orioles are competing with the 62 Mets for one of the worst teams in the last 70 years.
He also likes the Buccaneers. They scored more points in a week than the Orioles have wins.
All right. That's not even true. Actually, it might be true.
Buster, all right, man. I appreciate the help. It gets hard beating on guys all by myself.
Oh, God. See you guys.